Hour number two, Four's Company, here on this Saturday morning, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt in studio, Jake Wallman behind the glass, working the board for us today. Talked a lot of Titans in hour number one, got into some college football with Newt's notes. Here in hour number two, we're going to get to our question of the day. Here in the first segment, we'll also talk a little more college football and preview Titans 49ers, first preseason game later tonight from Nissan Stadium, 6 o'clock kickoff. And Brian Callahan says we'll get the starters for a series or two. So we'll get to see our first look at Will Levis, Calvin Ridley, this offense, and a good amount of the defense as well, despite not seeing some of the big names out there on the defensive side. But again, we're getting to our question of the day. First, who is your fantasy sleeper? It's getting to be draft season, fantasy football draft season, with the opener between the Ravens and Chiefs now 27 days away, 26 days away, somewhere around there. So we want to know, who's your guy? Who's your sleeper? We're not asking for Christian McCaffrey here, but who's a guy that you are going into drafts looking to take, and hey, if you reach for him a little bit, you're okay with it because you need him on your team. We've got our answers locked and loaded. We want to hear from you, 615-737-1025. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can text or call. Let's start Nick Frazier. Who is your sleeper? And you can't say Kyler Murray.
No, it is on that team, though. I'm going Trey McBride.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yes, Trey McBride is my sleeper pick this year in fantasy football due to the fact that you're going to have everybody all over Marvin Harrison Jr., possibly getting double-teamed, and Rondell Moore is no longer with the Cardinals. He's now in Arizona and unfortunately went to the season-ending injury list for a knee injury.
Atlanta. He's in Atlanta.
What did I just say?
Arizona.
Excuse me. He was previously with Arizona. It's a rough morning for my brain. Arizona and now to Atlanta and IR, but I think Trey McBride's going to have a phenomenal season. I think he's going to be able to open up his game a little bit. He's going to catch a lot of passes, definitely in the middle of the field. Kyler's going to run around and do what he normally does, but you could have him as that checkdown guy. You still have James Conner in the backfield. James Conner's still going to run the ball for the most part. You're going to get a lot of offensive production. It's a matter of their offensive line sticking with things and holding their blocks. So with that being said, I think Trey McBride's a great little sleeper pick.
Trey McBride, according to fantasypros.com, the 58th ranked player, which 12-team league, that puts him late round five, ranked as the fourth best tight end. So I guess for you that means early fifth, fourth round, that's when you're going to be starting to look to take Trey McBride?
Yeah.
Love it.
It's fine by me. I mean, I have some other picks in mind that I go a little higher up on, but, you know, we'll wait for that.
There we go. Trey McBride. That's a good tight end. You know, well, you're behind that top tier of Kelce, Sam Laporta, George Kittle, those kind of guys. Get that guy. You feel pretty good about it. Maybe has a higher ceiling than a lot of those other guys.
I like to, when I do my drafts, I like to prioritize wide receiver, then we go running back, and then, well, quarterback. Some people do it differently in drafts where they go, oh, we're going quarterback second round, third round. I'm like, that's not the right way to do it.
I usually will wait on quarterback. I think loading up on running back, wide receiver is usually the way to do it, yeah. Unless somebody kind of falls into your lap. Maybe Trey McBride's that kind of guy, doesn't have the name recognition that maybe some of the casual people in your league, they'll see, oh, Trey McBride. I don't want him. I want
Dalton Schultz.
Find a tight end who has a little more name recognition. Kyle Pitts.
Yeah,
who's ranked lower on this
site. That's
a good one. So maybe somebody's like, oh, why would I take Trey McBride when I can take Kyle Pitts? But you're sitting there knowing Trey McBride, the better play. Okay. Connor Newt, who's your sleeper?
I'm going to go with Nathan Peterman. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to go with Zay Flowers here.
I like that one. I thought about him.
Zay Flowers, obviously, coming off his rookie year, sensational rookie year in Baltimore, by the way. I think he takes the next step. Lamar Jackson needs a number one guy. Zay Flowers is that guy. And this is a Baltimore receiving corps that lacks a lot of depth, but Zay Flowers is kind of the guy to step up. He's a deep threat for sure. And a lot of people don't realize Lamar Jackson can actually throw the ball too. So I like Zay Flowers a lot. I would reach for him around third round, maybe. He seems to be more of a fourth to fifth round guy, but I would take him at like 42nd or something like that.
They've got him 55th here.
Wow.
So again, that's like mid fifth round in most leagues. If it's a 10-team league, it would be sixth round. But I'm looking at some of the receivers they have ranked ahead of him. Stephon Diggs, Michael Pittman, George Pickens, Malik Neighbors even, although I do like Malik Neighbors.
I like Malik Neighbors.
Devontae Smith. Like, I would probably put Zay Flowers more where Devontae Smith is at 40 than at 55. I think that's a good pick.
Where would you put Calvin Ridley? Because I'm seeing our text line, unnamed texter says Calvin Ridley is their sleeper pick.
I don't Ridley disregard that. I think that's a good idea.
Ridley is 68th, wide receiver 32.
Wow,
so basically the last number one wide receiver.
Wow.
Based on this, behind guys like Christian Kirk, his former Jacksonville Jaguars teammate. And I guess the only other receiver is Terry McLaurin in there behind Zip.
That's another good one.
Yeah. But I agree. I think Ridley, we said we aren't going to take Titans players, but if I was going to reach for a Titans player, it would be Ridley or Tajay Spears.
I
think those two guys are certainly going to make a play. At least somebody's got to get these points, right?
Yeah.
And Brian Callahan, his offenses throw the ball a lot. Joe Burrow had 4,400-plus yards in his two full seasons he's played. So somebody's catching the football. I would think those two guys, Ridley and Spears, are going to get a lot of that production.
Earlier this week, Mike Clay with ESPN hopped on the Midday Show and was asking about, you know, Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, Tajay Spears, Tony Pollard, and so forth. And I believe it was Willie that asked him about Calvin Ridley. And Mike Clay is all about Calvin Ridley. Like, he thinks
I'm all about it.
That is a sleeper wide receiver to pick up this year in fantasy.
To me, that's the Titans wide receiver is kind of like almost like the Bengals in a way. It's like Calvin Ridley is going to be your Jamar Chase deep threat guy.
Yep.
And D-Hop is going to be kind of your T. Higgins, your short route, moderate gain guy.
Yeah.
Then you have Tyler Boyd.
Jump ball guy, too, kind
of. Jump ball, yeah.
And then Tyler Boyd is Tyler Boyd.
Yeah.
Tyler Boyd playing himself. Let's see. I had two that came to mind. We're running out of time here, though, so I might just do one. I'll mention one that not my sleeper, but Garrett Wilson. I am high once again on Garrett Wilson. I took him everywhere last year, and of course Aaron Rodgers had to mess it up. Garrett Wilson is ranked as the 10th best player on this site. So Garrett Wilson, I don't know if he really counts, but
I wouldn't count it.
That's a guy that I want to get on my team. But my sleeper is Dalton Kincaid
from
the Bills. That's a guy that I'm going to be going after. He is ranked as the 80th player, according to fantasypros.com. So that would put him in the 7th round. And he's tight end 7 right behind Kyle Pitts. I would take Dalton Kincaid along with Trey McBride. I think those are my two that I'm going to be trying to get at tight end in a lot of leagues.
Yeah.
I think Kincaid, especially with Diggs gone now and Gabe Davis gone, I think he's going to be that safety blanket for Josh Allen.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be a fruitful investment.
Let me throw a quarterback out really, really quickly.
Ooh,
Jaden Daniels.
Yep, I'm seeing him here. He's 84th, quarterback 12, according to Fantasy Pros.
Yeah, I love that. The Washington wide receiver core is kind of sneaky, too. Terry McLaurin, John Dotson, which is a major sleeper for me, Jahan Dotson. Is it John or Jahan?
Jahan.
Yep. Yeah.
He's a really good wide receiver out of Penn State. I just didn't have a really good rookie season just because of the quarterback situation.
Yeah. But now that they've got a guy, I wonder how McLaurin and Dotson and all those guys.
Plus, you have Austin Eckler in the backfield.
And Brian Robinson.
And B-Rob.
Yep.
Many men.
Quickly, before we go to break, Jake Wallman, do you have a sleeper in mind?
I actually have two. One is on one of my fantasy keeper league teams, and that's Curtis Samuel.
Oh,
he's in a much more pass-happy offense in Buffalo.
Yep.
And two is Kirk Cousins.
Mm. Ooh.
I'm a fan of the Kirk Cousins play.
And his new head coach, or it's either his head coach or his OC, is from the Kevin O'Connell, Sean McVay tree of coaching.
Okay.
So,
see, Kirk Cousins this year, I kind of equate him to what Matthew Stafford was for years when he was with Detroit. Like, if you miss out on all the top quarterbacks, I always love just waiting and taking Matthew Stafford because he would put up numbers.
Because he is exactly what he is.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like, I think Kirk Cousins, with all of those weapons he has in Atlanta, I think he's going to put up numbers. Is he going to be quarterback 1 in your fantasy league? Probably not, but could he end up putting up quarterback 6, quarterback 7 stats?
Yeah.
I think so.
I have two real quick. Sorry. Ladd McConkey and
yes.
Rashad White.
Those are
yes.
good ones.
Ladd McConkey.
Ladd McConkey. Who else is he going to throw the ball to?
Yeah.
Like, the Chargers have no wide receivers.
I think they're done with Quentin Johnson, by the way. That I've heard that story has just gotten
sour. He can't catch. He's got bricks for hands.
My man Josh Palmer.
Yeah, Josh Palmer.
Yeah,
Josh Palmer. There it is. And what's his name? Josh Kelly. Is that his name?
Yeah, yeah. The running back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Joshua Kelly.
This this site also has Tony Pollard ranked 30 spots ahead of Tajay Spears.
No.
I'd flip it.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah. I told you, I think by week 8, Tajay Spears is the workhorse. For
I
the
don't
Titans.
Even know if it takes that long. Yeah, I think Spears is going to get the majority of the touches, and I think Spears, I think, is a better play in fantasy, especially because he's better catching the football than Tony Pollard is. So
you guys heard my take, right, on the midday show like a few weeks back?
Yeah, you did it on this show too.
Yes.
Not Tony Pollard, but Tajay Spears leads the AFC South in touchdowns.
I'm so high on him.
Love it. Me too. I hope he doesn't break our hearts and is like
his Achilles by week two.
Or clearly is number two to Tony Pollard. Texter on the text line who mentioned Calvin Ridley says we're sleeping on Pollard. I'm not saying Pollard's going to be bad. I just think Spears is the more dynamic player. I think Pollard is going to be the 1B to Spears 1A.
Yeah.
But I think Pollard does get some of the goal line touches, so you never know. Maybe the touchdowns end up pushing Pollard ahead of Spears in fantasy.
It's a committee.
You can keep texting and calling if you have any sleepers you're thinking of. That's our question of the day. Who is your guy you're standing on the table for in fantasy drafts this year? We just gave our answers. We're going to get back to college football coming up next as we are 2 weeks away from real, meaningful college football. Week zero is 2 weeks away, and then we're 3 weeks away from a full slate of games in week one. We're going to talk about some of the weekends that we're looking forward to. I know there's one that stands out the most, and talk about some of these games coming up early in the season that we can't wait for. That's up next here on this Saturday morning. Force Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Tune in to 102.5 The Game tomorrow for coverage of the Cookout 400. Coverage will begin at 4 p.m. with the race starting at 5 p.m. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. Four's Company, Saturday mornings here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We're going to do a preview of the Titans and 49ers coming up in the next segment, but let's step away from the NFL for just 15 minutes here to talk some college football. 2 weeks away from week zero, and I believe the big games that weekend are Florida State, Georgia Tech, that is in Ireland in week zero, and the Pony Express, Nick Frazier's
yes.
SMU, taking on, is it Nevada?
Nevada.
So those are the two, I think there's four total week zero games.
A ranked Pony Express, by the way.
That really? I didn't see
number
that.
Number 24.
Hey. Did the AP poll come out this week?
I think it's the coaches poll.
The coaches poll came out. Because I saw my Hokies are 28th or something. They were just outside the rankings.
SMU's my sleeper team, by the way, in the ACC this year. Like,
I am with you.
I think they have a solid shot at it. Just putting that out there. They have an easy first three games. They go to Nevada. HCU, it used to be Houston Baptist. Now it's HCU, Houston Christian University, I think?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Anyway, the Huskies. And then you go to BYU. So, like, I mean, those first three games are not too shabby. But then you have TCU and Florida State. And then there's your gauntlet of the rest of, you know, the ACC after that. But
yeah. The AP poll is out, it looks like.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Based How did I miss this?
I missed it, too. Michigan 1, Washington 2, Texas 3, Florida State 4, Alabama 5, Georgia 6. Wow. Ohio State 7, Oregon 8, Missouri 9, Penn State 10. Should I keep going?
Sure.
We can leave it with the top 10.
Yeah, we'll give you
Unless there's any, is Tennessee in there?
Tennessee is number 25.
Oh, wow, just snuck
in. On the coaches poll?
This says AP top 25.
Okay.
ESPN hates Tennessee, by the way.
let's not start with this. James Madison is ranked, too. Wow.
Yep, JMU. Seeing here on AP.com.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it out yet.
This might be the coaches poll.
Yeah, maybe it might be just the coaches out now. I think AP poll comes out Monday. That would be my guess. So, predicting the AP top 25 preseason poll 2 days ago. So I think Monday we will get the first AP poll, so we can react to that next week.
You know what, guys? I am so sorry about that.
No.
It's okay.
You're good.
It's okay.
Saturday.
So I mentioned that Florida State Georgia Tech game. That is 11 a.m. Central Time out in Dublin. Mm-hmm. So that'll be fun.
Dublin.
I'm wondering. Are you guys fans of the 11 a.m. kickoff?
See, I don't mind it. Living on the East Coast for so long, like the noon kick was nice.
Yeah.
But I think 11 is fine because it's not like you're getting late enough into the morning. And then your primetime games are an hour earlier, which is great. Like your Pac-12 after dark. But those Pac-12 after dark games weren't ending at 1 in the morning. They were ending at like midnight.
See, Frazier and I have never known anything not 11 a.m. kickoff.
What are you talking about?
Living here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's always been 11 a.m.
Eastern time, it was nice. Like if you were going to a noon kickoff, that you had a little more time to tailgate. You didn't have to get up so early. But if you wanted to stay up for those late games, it was going to take you into the wee hours of the morning. So I like Central Time because it's an hour earlier, and it's not like the West Coast where you wake up at 9 a.m.
I don't mind it from the perspective if my team is playing it. Like if Kentucky is playing South Carolina in Kroger Field at 11 a.m., I love it. But if like... let's say it's the Red River Rivalry at 11 a.m.
I'm with you.
That
should
be a primetime game.
Yeah. So I just like the 11 a.m. kickoffs because if you go tailgate, you have all the brunch food.
Yes.
You just get all the food right in front of you. Like, all right, I'm full. I'm going to the football game. Let's have a good day.
And then you got the rest of the day after to enjoy your day, which is always nice. Like, I remember when we used to go down to football games, it was nice where you could, you know, go get dinner after the game and not be exhausted. But like, even when you get to the 3:30 kicks, like you're not getting out of the stadium till 7 o'clock. And if you got to drive back somewhere, it takes a while. So I like the early kick. I'm just glad we don't live on the West Coast where it's 9 a.m. kickoffs. That's I couldn't wake up.
But vice versa, they're glad they don't live here when it's a primetime game.
That is
kicking
true.
Off at 10.
That is true.
Imagine living in Hawaii. You're way back.
I know. Yeah.
Town.
You got to wake up at 6 in the morning to get up for football. Big games week 1. Thursday night, we've got North Carolina, Minnesota. So I believe that's the only Power 5 matchup that night. Then on Friday, we get TCU, Stanford. I think that is it. Oklahoma plays Temple that night as well. And then Saturday, week 1, Clemson, Georgia. 11 a.m. kickoff.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Well, isn't the primetime game?
Yeah, what is the prime time that night? It is Notre Dame, Texas A&M.
Yeah, that's a big one,
so
too.
We've got a lot of fun ones.
That's where game day will go to. It'll be a whole thing.
Yes. Alabama, Western Kentucky. That is 6 o'clock. Virginia Tech coming to Vanderbilt. That'll be a fun one over at First Bank Stadium. Florida, Miami at 2:30. Tennessee opens the season against Chattanooga. That is an 11:45 a.m. kickoff.
Hmm.
Kind of a strange time for that one. Penn State, West Virginia. A lot of big games week 1.
Kentucky, Southern Miss. Massive game. Not really.
But and then coming up, I forgot, week 1, since it's Labor Day weekend, they always do the Sunday and Monday games. Sunday, we get LSU, USC, and then
Ooh.
Florida State, Boston College, which...
I don't know how I feel about that.
That's
Sunday
a
game.
Meh one. Sunday, LSU, USC...
Feels like LSU always gets the Sunday game.
They had the back-to-back years against Florida State.
Yeah.
Where they played at the Superdome 2 years ago, and then they played in Orlando at like Camping World Field or whatever.
Last year.
So they were both neutral site games, but one was in home territory for LSU, one was in home territory for
Everywhere's
Florida State.
Everywhere's home territory for LSU.
Before we go to break and move back to the Titans, though, We were texting about it. Week 7 of the college football season is just absolutely loaded. Saturday, October 12th, LSU Ole Miss, Tennessee Florida, Iowa Washington, Oregon Ohio State, USC Penn State. I know there's at least Texas Oklahoma, the Red River Rivalries that weekend.
Did you say Tennessee Florida?
Tennessee Florida, yes.
Vandy Kentucky.
Woo!
In the Krogue.
Alabama, South Carolina. Just a loaded weekend of games. Maybe one of the best weekend of games we've ever seen because we're starting to get these Big Ten matchups that we'd never seen before where Washington is going to Kinnick Stadium to play Iowa and Penn State is going out to L.A. to play USC. Going to be so much fun. I have a wedding that day, I think.
Oh, my.
Brutal.
Jake Lyman.
Ole Miss LSU that
I've
day.
I've talked about this on the air before. I think it was me and... maybe TD or Adam Vingan, and I mentioned that I might have a wedding to go to that day. I haven't RSVP'd yet. I have not made a call one way or the other. But looking at this schedule, I just...
What? Ban fall weddings.
Fall weddings should not be a thing.
Can you, like...
Shout out Josh Pate.
Can you just, like, State. You know, buy the wedding gift? Like, hey, man, here's your wedding gift.
Here you go.
Can I show up 25 minutes? Congratulations.
Send my girlfriend on her way. Hey, you go hang out. I'm going to... Yeah. I'm gonna head back.
Isn't that what you did on July 19th? Hey, you go ahead. I got a
national championship to win. Yeah, so loaded day, October 12th. I'm sure we're gonna have plenty of really good college football days, but that one stands out above the rest. October 12th. That one's going to be fun.
I'm intrigued though. You mentioned about Penn State and UCLA. I'm intrigued about those matchups because, like you said, it's the first of its kind, Big Ten. But also, I'm curious about the travel. Because with the travel, you're going all the way from one coast to the other. It's just going to be interesting to see how teams really respond, especially the players on offense. Because normally you start the first drive, you have the yips maybe on as an away team. Like that, for me, that's the big thing is the stadium atmosphere.
Stadium pulse.
The stadium pulse. Yeah. I'm curious to see what the stadium pulse is out in the West Coast. So,
how high are those bars?
Hey, they're in the red. Stadium pulse.
Vibrating. Just bouncing.
Mo Bamba.
Did you guys see the new map ad for the Big Ten?
No.
Yeah, it's awesome.
They redid it. Somebody put the Game of Thrones theme song over top of it, which I thought was awesome. Before we get to break, Jake Wallman has another weekend that apparently is huge.
October 19th.
Oh, the next week.
Ooh. Yeah. Texas hosts Georgia on the 40 acres. Tennessee looks to defend Neyland Stadium against Alabama.
Oh, wow. Yeah, third Saturday in October.
Some other fun games. Kentucky, Florida. That game has that. That's
in the swamp.
Yeah, that's a fun rivalry that's kind of emerged over the last few years.
Arkansas LSU.
Yep, can't that's another one.
I don't know. Is it just me or is the Alabama Tennessee lost its gusto a little bit after now that Saban is gone? I know nobody's played yet, but do you think it's kind of lost its
still,
gusto?
I always saw it as more of a one sided rivalry for the longest time.
Yeah,
because it was Saban just dominating, and then they win in 22, and I'm like, okay, now we're heating up. And then it kind of fell off last year when obviously they go to Bryant-Denny and win again. So I'm honestly picking the Vols to win this year at home against a new era of Alabama football.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see if it heats up at this point because to me they're two pretty even programs right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just not high on Alabama this year, obviously because DeBoer's taken over and it's the question of the unknown. You don't know what you're going to get from them. I just think they're going to go 8-4. I have this gut feeling. You know, I've talked about gut feelings a lot, and it's not just the food I ate earlier, but like it's the gut feeling of DeBoer. Is he going to have a little bit of some issues going to the SEC? Because it's the best of the best.
But they've still got all that talent. And Kalen DeBoer's won everywhere he's gone.
It's true.
I agree. I don't think Alabama is going to be as dominant under him as they were under Saban, but the Alabama brand is still strong, and Kalen DeBoer is a good coach. So we'll see. That one, I do think that rivalry is going to start being more even at the very least. It's not going to be, you know, as Morgan Wallen says, they beat us every damn year. I don't think that's what it's going to look like.
But to a texter's point, unnamed texter, all Kalen DeBoer is... All he does is win.
Yes, he's won everywhere he goes.
Everywhere he goes.
And now he's got the best talent pool in the country. So
I believe his record is 104-12.
That's what the texter just sent.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Look at you. Backing me up.
104.
104-12.
Yeah. So we'll see. That's a great point. So
I don't know.
It's going to be a really fun college football season. I can't wait. The 12-team playoff. Everybody's going to feel like they have a chance to get in, at least for the first few weeks. It's going to be so much fun.
Any Group 5 teams you think make it?
I mean, at least one's going to, right?
The Blue Raiders. Probably not.
You never know. I mean, Derek Mason, honestly.
I'm excited for the Mason era.
If you heard earlier in the Chase and McJoe show earlier this week, I think it was Tuesday, you mentioned 59 transfers.
Wow.
That's impressive,
man. That's pretty substantial.
It goes to show you what kind of coach he is.
By the way,
did
you see their new video board?
No.
Oh, it's awesome.
Out in Murfreesboro.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of it.
I'll show you at the break.
I must be living under a rock because
I'll show you.
Goodness gracious.
They tore down the old blue and now it's like this steel 3D logo.
It's very nice.
It's very, very nice.
Borough built, middle made, baby.
I will show you.
Love it.
At the break.
We do need to take a break.
Sorry.
I will mention that you said Group of 5 teams, none of them in the coaches poll that was just released this week. But of the others receiving votes, Memphis is actually the highest ranked non-Power 4 team. So we'll see what the AP poll looks like this week, but that's the coaches poll. Memphis is like 30th or something like that. When we come back, we are going to spend the rest of the show previewing the Titans and 49ers tonight. What are we most excited to see? Who's going to step up? We have actual football tonight, guys. We are so excited. We're going to see the starters for a little bit, but also see some depth guys who could sneak their way onto the roster. We'll talk about that. Coming up next, Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3. Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt in studio, Jake Wallman.
I've taught you so well. I'm so proud of you.
Getting us
spinning
in
the beats.
Here. We mentioned throughout the show, the stadium pulse is getting us today. There's been a lot of corrections that have had to been issued on this show.
This is the Newt State fight song right here. The Newt State speakers coming soon.
The fighting speakers.
The fighting speakers.
Well, we got to get locked in here because we do have football today. We have Titans 49ers coming up, Nissan Stadium, 6 o'clock kickoff. First preseason game, first of three. Titans will play at home today and next Saturday against the Seahawks. And then they will play to wrap up the regular season, or excuse me, to head into the regular season against the Saints on the road before week one against the Bears. But we get our first look at the Titans against another team tonight. Let's preview it a little bit. First off, let's start with the starters. The ones, Brian Callahan said they're going to get 1 to 2 series. I think that basically it means if they have one good series, they'll be done for the night. If they go 3 and out, or if the defense gives up a big play, then maybe they'll come out again. Mm-hmm. What do we want to see from the starters in their brief time out on the field tonight against the 49ers?
Just see them attack, like, right out of the gate. That's the number one thing I want to see is, like, do they have that hunger to score immediately? Because if that's the case, it shows to me that this Titans offense is going to do that every single game, like score quick. Because my biggest concern about this team was if this offense doesn't produce, this defense might get burned very quickly, and they might be down very quickly. So if they're able to score quick, that's a good sign that this might be type of like a shootout team for me, where they score a lot of points, hopefully don't concede a lot of points, but, you know, that's how I perceive them.
Yeah, I'm curious to see the play calling tonight from Brian Callahan.
I agree.
I'm curious to see, is it going to be a tempo offense? Is he going to kind of drag it out the Vrabel style?
Right.
Are we doing run, 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 punt? Probably not.
Run, run, pass, punt.
Yeah, sorry. That's the Todd Downing way.
But the Madden playbook way.
That's what I'm curious to see is how does Brian Stadium Pulse. How does Brian Callahan manage this offense? How does he flow through the how does the game tempo feel? And then on the defensive side, I'm curious, same thing, Denard Wilson. What kind of sets does he like to run with his defense? What do we see out of this? And obviously it's a small sample size tonight. No Landry, no Simmons, and you could only assume the starters are probably playing a series, maybe two.
Yeah.
We'll see.
If they come out for a second series, it means the first one didn't go well.
Like right.
That's basically what Callahan said, is they're playing a series or two. If it's a good series, then we don't need to see any more. But if, let's say, the offense goes 3 and out and then the defense gives up a 75-yard touchdown, I think we're going to see him come out again.
Yeah. I'm intrigued to see, like, after the first team is done, what Malik Willis does.
Yeah.
Everybody's been talking about him in camp. Apparently he's been throwing the ball well. He's not muffing snaps like under center. So, like, I'm curious to see how that goes. I mean, you've been there more than I have, Connor. Like, has he looked pretty good, like, against ones? And
Malik
whatnot?
Willis?
Yeah.
It seems like it's been inconsistent. Like, there are plays, which is kind of what Malik Willis has been, is there are plays when he goes out there and you're like, there is no one else who can make that play. But then 75% of the time, he just doesn't look like...
He can thread the needle occasionally.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see him do what he did last preseason and pick up the ball and be like, wait a minute, I don't know where my reads are, and then run for about 6 yards.
He looks a lot better at that. He doesn't, you know...
Doesn't panic under pressure.
His problem in the prior years is he would panic under pressure and commit to one guy.
Yeah.
And if his first read wasn't there, he would take off running. He has been a lot more consistent, we'll say, at going through his progressions, finding the right read. committing to not just to just one guy. What another thing he has working in his favor, Mason Rudolph has looked awful.
Mm.
Like, not good at all.
Really?
Really.
Yeah.
That was a question. Sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I heard on Stillman, it was a couple weeks ago, that they brought Mason Rudolph in to be the start, or the backup. Mm-hmm. They brought Mason Rudolph in to be the backup.
Right.
Is there a chance that Malik Willis could steal that job?
That's what I'm wondering. I say awful. He hasn't looked great. Like Nathan Peterman.
I need to look because I thought I saw Jim Wyatt say he's completed like 80% of his passes in team drills.
A lot of them are short passes.
Well, I'm sure they are, but
he does not look like Steelers starter Mason Rudolph, if that's what
you're
wondering. What in training camp stood out to you that just didn't jive the way you thought it would for Mason Rudolph? Is it the short passes that are just steering you away from like the success possibly, or is it more of he's not looking more downfield?
It's that, and I think some of it is Levis has just looked so good.
It's just kind of overshadowing.
That's okay. Why you haven't heard a lot of talk about the backup quarterback, because not many people care, first of all. And I do think all three quarterbacks are making the roster. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Yeah. Well, you can, because I guess they said that the third quarterback doesn't have to take up a game day roster spot.
Well, we saw that last year. Tannehill was the starter. Malik was the backup for a little bit. And then Will Levis was your
emergency guy.
And then when we made the move, it was Malik was your emergency guy.
Here's where I saw it. Jim Wyatt in his mailbag. Mason has been really good. I've charted all of his throws. He's completed 83.6% of his passes in 7-on-7 and team drills combined. Not going to sit here and say he's outperformed Levis. Levis has been subjected to a lot of pressure periods, but it's clear to me Mason is ahead in the race for the number two job.
Hmm. So, it's just I said awful. I don't think awful is the right word.
That's all right. Go ahead. Say it again. A different way.
I would say that yes, Mason Rudolph is probably in the lead for the second QB spot.
Right.
But Malik is right there to me.
Okay.
It's not as Mason has this massive lead as you think.
Right.
They're different players, but they're pretty close to me. Malik he's mobile. Mason Rudolph is more of your pocket passer, your field general, whatever, if we're going off college football terms, he's your field general.
There you go.
Whereas Malik is your dual threat scrambler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even though I do think Mason Rudolph is the backup, I want to see more of Malik tonight. I want to see if, let's say, Levis gets the first series. So you've got 3.5 quarters to play with. I want to see Malik Willis play 2.5 quarters and Rudolph play one. I don't think it's going to be like straight Rudolph plays a quarter, then you get Willis the rest of the game. I think they're going to mix and match with the twos and the threes. Mm. But I want to see what Malik Willis can do. One texter said he's a preseason All-American.
David in Arkansas makes a good point. Kind of what I was trying to say on our text line. He says everyone needs to quit trying to hype up Willis. Ugh. Stadium Pulse.
Woo!
Everyone needs to quit trying to hype up Willis. He is what he is, and playing against third stringers isn't going to prove anything to me. They signed Rudolph for a reason. There is no true competition. I wouldn't say there's no true competition, but I do agree to the point Willis is what he is.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a starter, all-pro, Super Bowl champion. Maybe he'll win a Super Bowl.
Never know.
But he is what he is.
Yeah.
I think he's a finished product.
Yeah, I believe that's right. I'll agree to that. I don't have any other thoughts about that quarterback situation. I was going to jump to the defensive side of the ball again. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Denard Wilson, I'm very intrigued to see how he approaches just the defensive scheme of, is he going to blitz more or is he going to put more into coverage? Because, he's known for his blitzing. And, like, when you have Jamal Adams, who's not going to probably play tonight just because of injuries this past week. But I'm intrigued to see what he does with the second and third team, if they're going to be blitzing a little bit more. Because, like, if that's the case, then maybe he is going to show a little bit of his cards for what's to come this season. And, like, that's good for somebody on the outside looking in.
I think, like most people, when the starting offense is out there, my eyes are going to be on number 93.
Yeah.
Tavondre Sweat is going to get most of my attention out there because of what we've heard from people. Like Jared on his show yesterday was saying that he thinks Sweat might be a bigger game wrecker than Jeffrey Simmons by the end of the season. So based on what we've seen in practice, Tavondre Sweat has exceeded all expectations. I want to see if he can do it in a real live, lights are on, stadium matchup against another team.
Yeah.
And I think the other guy, once the twos come in, I want to see Jarvis Brownlee Jr. too. I think those are the two guys, rookies, that I'm going to be paying attention to a lot on the defensive side of the ball.
As long as he knows it's always L's down.
Well,
go Cats.
We'll see.
There's going to be a lot to look at. Jalen Harrell, too. This texter is helping us out a lot today.
Yeah, no. Callahan's been hyping up Jalen Harrell.
Yeah, that's another guy I want to see. I think the edge position is so thin for the Titans right now, especially with Arden Key suspended for the first six games. Harrell, if he can be just even a rotational pass rusher, that is huge for the Titans. So he's another guy I'm going to be looking for. A lot of these rookies, first time we're seeing him.
Stay at that position. Rashad Weaver.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to figure out what you have this year with him. I mean, obviously, that you've had the last couple seasons to see what you've had in him, but like, this is a true prove-it year for him.
I'll make a comparison here to a different position. Rashad Weaver is Tajay Sharp to me. Like,
that's what I think Jaquan Jackson is.
Really?
They play the same to me.
Rashad Weaver is the guy who everybody's like, man, he could kind of help us out, and then he's always just like maybe makes one or two plays a year, and that's about it. He's the fifth-round pick that everybody thinks is eventually going to take the step and be a starter, and he just never is.
Yeah.
Tonight is going to be fun. It's our first chance to see a lot of these guys wearing Titans uniforms. They're going to be in the light blue and white pants tonight.
They didn't wear those at all last year either.
And apparently we're only getting one Oilers game this year.
Week 18?
Yeah, last game of the year. So,
interesting.
Tough look there.
It's against the Texans, though, so that makes up for it.
Yeah, but I thought we'd get two.
We got two
last year.
We got two. And one against Atlanta, and Atlanta has...
Yeah, we saw how that one went.
Yeah.
I would like to see a home and away.
Yeah, the white Oilers jerseys. That'd be awesome.
Real quick, while we're talking Oilers, the helmet the other day.
Yeah.
That Joe...
Oh, yeah,
did you see that?
Yeah.
So, for our listeners, it was the white Oiler helmet, but it had like oil on the top.
Yeah.
And it was black, and it was kind of like not real oil. It was painted on, but it was like leaking down the helmet.
Yeah.
I would love to see a blackout Oilers.
I think blackout Oilers would be cool.
So cool.
We'll see. Maybe as the helmet rules continue to get looser and you can wear more helmets, maybe the Titans will go with that. We do need to take our last break here. We will get out of here real quick. We will continue to preview this game, and we'll make our picks to wrap up the show when we come back here on Force Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Wrapping up the show here on this Saturday morning, Forrest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you, finishing up previewing tonight's preseason opener. Titans are back on the field for the first time since January, taking on the 49ers starting at 6 p.m. over at Nissan Stadium. We're going to continue to preview it here. We'll make our picks as well towards the end of this segment. We did get a good question at the very beginning of the show that I wanted to get to before we get out of here. Our texter who helped me out when I was going through the stadium pulse and said Steelers instead of Seahawks. Today. We've had a lot of help from the text line today. Thanks everybody for keeping us in check. Wanted to know who's a wide receiver that we expect to have a good showing tonight on the bubble of making the team. They say Mason Kinsey, Kyle Phillips. I think some other guys on there would be Jaquan Jackson, Kiaris Jackson. Really, we've gone through the roster math on this. You've got five guys who are going to make the team at wide receiver. Hopkins, Ridley, Boyd, Burks, NWI. Those guys are locks. I think there's one to two spots left, and the only way there's two is if they're the primary punt returner.
And I think one of those
Jaquan Jackson would be in there for that.
I think it's both of them. Jaquan Jackson and Mason Kinsey, those are your last two.
You think those are the last two?
I would think so.
See, the texter mentioned Kyle Phillips, and apparently Kyle Phillips has been blowing up in training camp again. We've done this for 3 years now.
I don't see it.
But I am excited to see what he does tonight.
Yeah. I can't buy into that. You can't buy into that for Kyle Phillips. Just the injury history. You have a young youth. That's not right. Stadium pulse once again. You have a lot of young players here that are coming in, like Kiaris Jackson. I think Kiaris Jackson's a guy you have to kind of give the upper edge to, even though Kyle Phillips has been in the Titans system for a little bit.
And would you agree to that or disagree?
Oh, I'd agree with that 100%.
I mean, you can't go give, you know, Kyle Phillips the upper edge because he's been here longer. Like, it's who's the better player.
The only way Kyle Phillips makes the team, in my opinion, is if he can contribute on special teams. And what I've seen from him in the past few seasons, he can't.
It does seem like it's those three guys fighting for those last two spots, because you've got your outside wide receivers, Ridley, NWI, Hopkins, Burks. Those guys, it seems like that's your first and second string locked in, no question. Boyd's the starting slot. You're fighting for backup slot and punt returner. I think the Titans would prefer that that's the same guy, but maybe it's not. Maybe you need to keep seven. But I think it's Phillips, Kinsey, and Jaquan Jackson. One or two of those guys is making the team. Maybe it's a question of who you can sneak back onto the practice squad, which I think Mason Kinsey would be the most likely that you could get to the practice squad out of those three.
Yes. I'll say it like this. For the new kickoff format, if you're the guy that has two kick returners in the back instead of just one, it's a luxury to have a guy that's on your wide receiver core that can do both. But I think it's probably the right thing to keep, you know, somebody else that's not, you know, on your radar that can do both. If one that's a specialty, that might be the best bet.
That trio, I think eyes will go there as soon as the first team offense comes out. Phillips, Jackson, Kinsey, who takes the upper edge tonight in the first preseason game? Because that's a direct competition. At best, two of those three are making the team, maybe just one.
You do bring up a good point, Dr. Crean. I am curious to see tonight how the new kickoff format goes for the Titans, and how I want to see how they kind of implement different guys in with this.
Yeah, I mean, if you do implement, I just like this new kickoff format. It does throw a wrench into things, especially like I was saying before. If you can get a wide receiver that can do both, it's great. But if you can't, it's worth looking at a guy that's a specialty guy. Because like if I were a GM or if I armchair GM, I'd look at guys that were from the XFL that were in this format that flourished in the special teams aspect. Like, that's what I'd be doing.
I said this on Fan Run the other day when I called in for the second time. They liked me over there. Where my money is, Treylon Burks at kick returner.
I'm not against that. I really do like that option.
I really want to get it. Just give me one rep at kick returner.
Jeffrey Simmons.
Malik Willis. I want them to put Malik Willis back there. Just try it out in the preseason. I guess he could get hurt. That's the worst thing that could happen.
If the Steelers do it with Justin Fields, I want to see Malik Willis.
But there's even less risk for the Titans, because like Fields is competing to be the top quarterback there. For the Titans, Willis isn't going to be your starter, but he's a human joystick. Like, put him out there, see what he can do. That would be my hope, to just once in the preseason, see how it goes. Let's get to our picks here, because we're running out of time. Titans 49ers. Yes, we are going to pick a preseason game. 6 o'clock tonight at Nissan Stadium. Nick Frazier, who you got?
Ooh, I'll just take the Titans. I'll pick the hometown team. I think they win by 14 points.
Wow. Connor Newt?
I mean, let's go WHMR here. I'll go Titans as well, playing against the 49ers third string. But the real winner here is America. Because football is back.
Football is back. Yeah, I'll go Titans too. My dad's a 49ers fan, and we've been texting about it, and he said he doesn't even know if they have 22 healthy guys right now. Obviously an over-exaggeration, but I don't think any of their starters are playing, and I don't think a lot of their depth is all that healthy, so I think the Titans should win. Jake Wallman, who you got?
Titans by a touchdown and a safety.
Wow.
Safety. Hey, it's preseason. You can see some weird stuff.
Do we get like the 1 point safety? Is that that's a thing, right? Like on the 2 point conversion, something like that.
Hey, I've seen Hendon Hooker truck a guy and then get a concussion. I've seen it all now.
Coming up 2:30 p.m. over in Paris, USA men's basketball against the host team France. Do the men get the gold? Do they bring it home?
They do. I think the Slim Reaper has a phenomenal game. I think he has a 30-plus point game. I think Kevin Durant has the game of his career.
Wow, Connor Newt.
I'll go France here.
Wow.
I like the post play. Rudy Gobert is obviously your perennial rebound champion.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Victor Wembanyama coming up, the rising star. I think he has a lot to prove here. And I think in winning this game, it will bring a lot of media attention from the NBA to Wembanyama. And I think he wants that. I think France rises to the challenge and takes down Team USA.
Connor's got U.S. getting silver. Jake, I won't make you go last this time. Who you got?
I appreciate it. This USA team has played FIBA rules going back to all the exhibition games that they were playing earlier in the year, earlier in the summer. I think it's unpatriotic, Connor Newt, to go against your home country.
There's got to be some controversy here.
But still, I think it's unpatriotic. USA by 10.
Okay.
I will be taking the U.S. as well. I think they survived their scare against Serbia. And I think I'm with you, Jake. I think double-digit win for the U.S.
Okay.
Quickly, we got about a minute. Wild cards if you got them. Nick Frazier.
I have the Cardinals winning and sweeping the weekend series against the Royals. They won last night 8-5, so I'm sticking with the Cardinals.
Connor?
Let me show you my patriotism. Patriotism here. I'll take Team USA women's soccer to win gold. They're underway right now at half, tied 0-0 against Brazil. I think they win 1-0.
Okay.
Jake Wallman.
In his return to the NFL, I think Jim Harbaugh wins his first preseason game.
There we go. His brother always wins preseason games, so maybe it runs in the family. I will take the Giants to beat my Tigers, who have like one starting pitcher, and he is not throwing today. So
Giants
beat the Tigers. That does it for us here on this Saturday morning. Titans and 49ers coming up at 6. We'll be back to recap it on Monday. Robbie and Rex Road at 6 a.m. Make sure you tune in. ESPN Radio up next here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
See you.